I want to do two things this morning. First of all, I just want to touch on the scriptures that we read. Two short stories about two historical people. Actually, there were Zechariah and Elizabeth, and there was Mary. But in these events that happen historically, the reason Luke writes this, and remember, Luke was a Gentile doctor, and when Luke writes his gospel, if you notice, he brings out the details of what was going on with the people in the story, in the good news of Christ's coming. And what Luke wanted to do when he wrote about what happened in Zechariah and Elizabeth's life and Mary's life, he wanted to show us, or show his readers, God's faithfulness. The prophets, as we've been singing about and reading about, foretold the coming of the Messiah. And they also foretold that someone would come, a messenger would come ahead, proclaiming that the Messiah had come, to prepare the people to receive that Messiah that God was sending. And we see the fulfillment of that in these stories of Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary. They all knew each other. Their lives were intertwined. Zechariah, possibly once in a lifetime, did a priest get chosen to do this particular task that he was chosen to do. And while he was in the temple with lighting the incense, burning the incense, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Gabriel, and told him that his wife was going to conceive and the baby was going to be the messenger, the forerunner, the one to proclaim the coming of the Christ. I want you to think about what that would be like in your own life if something like that happened. Secondly, we have Mary. Mary had a visitation from an angel also. And she was told that she was going to bear the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And when these ladies got together, there was this great power. So much so that babies unborn even leaped in their mother's womb. Something truly divine was going on here. Something was about to happen that would change the course of history and change the world and change our lives today, right here, forever. And when I say forever, I mean for eternity. This was God's faithful fulfillment of what He had promised hundreds and hundreds, and actually even thousands of years ago, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Now, secondly, I want to go to Advent. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. And what we do during the season of Advent, we remember and celebrate the comings, plural, of Christ. The comings of Christ. It's the four Sundays preceding Christmas. And Advent is technically the church's new year. We are now starting a new, what we call, liturgical year in the church. Years ago, the church decided to have its own liturgical year. It begins with Advent. And the very first thing that they chose to do in their new year was to remember and examine and also come to grips with the comings of Christ. Because that's who we are as Christians. That's who we are as the church. We are Christians, followers of Christ. And we start out remembering that God promised He was going to send His Son, and He did. But He also promises that His Son is coming back. And we are in the middle of that, in what we call the latter days or the end times, looking for the second coming of Christ. Advent is not biblical. You will not find anything about Advent in the Bible. It is strictly church-related. Ecclesiastical, I guess, is how you would pronounce that. It's of the church. It's something that the church came up with, a time of the year when we do certain things. It's a time of expectations. It's not a time of preparation, although it can be. Many people say this is a time when we prepare our hearts. It's not a time of preparation. No one in the Bible was preparing for the coming of Christ. In that time period in which Jesus was born, it was widely believed and it was very anticipated that the time had come that there was going to be a Messiah born very, very soon. It was common amongst the Jewish people. They were expecting it, looking for it, but no one was preparing for it. No one in the Bible was preparing for the coming of the Messiah. It tells us later on that Simeon, when Jesus was brought into the temple to be circumcised and for the rite of purification, Simeon met up with them, this righteous man. It tells us that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it tells us that Anna never left the temple, that she had been there praying and fasting. If anyone was preparing, possibly you could say Anna was. But really, Jesus had already come. So it's a time of expectation. Secondly, it's a time when we remember how the people were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. The prophets had foretold it. The scribes and the leaders were dissecting the scriptures, and there was much anticipation that the time was at hand. The Messiah was coming soon. But also, to remember that God had promised that a messenger would come first. And we'll get to that in a second here. Thirdly, it's a time to identify with God's people then and God's people now. God's people are waiters. We are expectors, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. They were then, they are now. Fourthly, it's a time to remember to be patient. To be patient. And all of this waiting is rooted in prophecy. If Advent can be connected to the Bible in any way, it's through prophecy. In Isaiah 64, things were terrible in the nation. And the prophet proclaimed, "Oh God, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble, and as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down now to make your name known to your enemies and cause them to quake before you." You see, he wanted vengeance. "Oh Lord, things are in such turmoil. If you would just rend the heavens and come down right now, things would be better." That's sort of how I feel nowadays. Isaiah chapter 11, the prophet foretold that will come about in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious. The root of Jesse is Jesus, comes from the line of David, Jesse. In Malachi chapter 3, the prophet spoke the word of the Lord, saying, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come." This messenger coming before the Lord comes back. In Isaiah chapter 7, "The Lord will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. As for you," and I got to stop there a second. Because for those who say that Jesus was not God, the virgin will bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. If the son that the virgin bore was Jesus, that means Jesus is God with us. In Micah chapter 5, "As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth to be ruler in Israel." In Matthew even, the angel proclaimed, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Paul told the Romans, referring to Isaiah, "There shall come the root of Jesse, he who arises to rule over the Gentiles." Now, considering all of this, I want to talk about the expectations of Advent then and now. The Advent, the comings of Christ then and now, and the expectations in the people. First of all, then, we remember that there were expectations among the people, but God met those expectations and more. The expectations were that a ruler was coming, a great military ruler, to free the people from all the oppression from the other countries who had come in and conquered them. This would be a powerful charismatic person, that he would set them free from maybe Roman occupation. There were expectations that this person would be a person of peace. As we look back, we see that we're dealing with a God who far exceeds our expectations. Paul told the Ephesians, "To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can not only ask, but that we can think." So you see, the people were expecting a human being that would come in and give them power and freedom. Jesus did more than that. God came through faithfully and gave them more than what they expected. Today in our world, as we read the scriptures, we remember during Advent that the scriptures point to the second coming of Christ. We have Jesus' promise in John 14. Remember when he was meeting with his disciples in the upper room, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you so. And I will come again to take you to be with me so that you can be where I am also." We have his promise that he's coming back again to take his disciples to be with him again. And I find it hard now to believe that we are prepared in this day and age any more than those back in when he came the first time around. We are no less prepared, or no more prepared than they were back then. In fact, unlike the people in Palestine, it seems as if we're even less expectant than they were then. How many of you are expecting Jesus to come back today? Right now, within the next 15 minutes? He might not. Maybe this year, maybe this week, maybe this month. Advent is a time when we remember that he came once and that he's coming again. I can't wait. I hope it happens today. I hope it happens in the next few minutes, and some people think I'm crazy thinking like this. Some would want to wait until after Christmas. Let's just wait. It's okay after Christmas, but let's have Christmas first. Or maybe they would want to wait to see their children, their grandchildren grow up. Then it'll be okay to come back, Lord. I want to ask you, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? That is, if we know the Christ who came the first time and his promise to all who receive him. Remember in John chapter 1, to those who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. What difference does it make if it comes right now or next month or next year? We should be expecting it with joyful expectation. You know, I want to ask you, what better place to spend with our families and our friends than with God for all eternity? I know I'll get to see my children grow up if he comes in the next few minutes, because my children know and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It doesn't worry me. I don't care about all this. This doesn't matter. This isn't my life. This isn't what I was created for. I was created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And the only way I can ever do that is through Jesus Christ. Maybe the problem with our expecting, or maybe the lack of it, is because we haven't shared the gospel with our friends and family and those that we love. And we're not sure that they know Christ. We want to put it off a little while, hoping that they'll get to know Jesus before he comes again. What a great time of year to share this wonderful story, the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and God's faithfulness in providing salvation for us. I'd like to challenge us this Advent season to just forget about this Christmas for a bit and focus on the fact that he could come back before Christmas. You see, Advent doesn't have a thing to do with Christmas. Absolutely nothing. Back when Advent was brought into the church and the church began this new calendar and the season of Advent, back before this commercialism and this secularism stole our holy day from us, Advent was a time when God's people sat and pondered. God promised once, and he faithfully came through. He promised again, and I'm waiting and hope it's today. Because the good news of great joy is above and beyond what we could ever expect, as it was back then. Do those that we know, that we love, know the Christ who came as promised the first time? Oh yeah, we see the baby in the manger, we celebrate Christmas. We know Jesus. We know the man Jesus. Just like we know the president and maybe the governor and so on and so forth. But do we really know him in here? Is he there? What good news it was for the people who were truly expecting him, and it'll be good news for those who truly seek him now. We can be assured that if he comes today, as he freed us from sin and bondage the first time around, he'll free us from this fleshly, earthly body and take us to be with him forever. If you're worried about your loved ones being left behind, I want to tell you something. Get on the stick and tell them about Jesus Christ and how important it is to know him as Lord and Savior. Do I hear an amen? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
This is a matter of life and death. And Advent is the time of year that we need to remember that he came as promised. He's coming again. We don't know when it will be, but we better be ready and expecting it. Us, our children, our children's children, our parents, everyone we know, if we really, truly love them, we won't skip this for all of this. We won't skip this time of expectation. How and when will that happen? We don't know. And we don't know like they didn't know then. It'll come unexpectedly like a thief in the night, the Bible tells us. But that didn't take their focus off the fact that God promised a king, a savior, a Christ. And we light this candle as Christ our hope. That's our hope, that no matter when he comes, we're going, and we're going with thanksgiving and praise, looking ahead, not looking back. I like the sign up at St. John's Church that says, is your life more looking in the rearview mirror or looking in the windshield? Are we looking ahead or are we too busy looking behind? I hope God's promise of the coming of the Messiah again isn't buried in all the wrappings of this season that we've created. And I hope that we take a few moments to remember and expect that as Jesus came once, as promised, he'll come again, as promised. I'm going to invite the choir now to share a wonderful sermon with us in music. Thank you.